Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
It's the first show of year number 10 of the popular, semi-popular daily fantasy football show on YouTube, the Swolecast. And after a few weeks off, we're here to answer the hard-hitting questions. Are the Titans, the Titanics, tanking for Caleb Williams harder than Silicon Valley Bank? Is Davis Maddock going to victory lap the Chiefs? Did the time off make it possible for Tuttle to win multiple five-figure NBA slates? Is Pete's secret obsession pickleball? And are the Bears the new sexy pick with Khalil Herbert as RB1? We have all the hard-hitting answers coming up next on the Swolecast. It's road to 10K in year 10. It's perfect. Let's go.
Please don't dupe me, bro.
I'm begging you, don't dupe me, bro.
It's the poop narrative.
Pigeon's been waiting to say those words.
No.
For 5 years.
All right, welcome back to the Swolecast, the first official episode, year 10 of the Swolecast. Hard to believe, but we're here. Still have not been canceled. Thinking odds are, eventually year 10, it might happen. Just the rule of large numbers says it might happen. I'm David Kitchen, alongside Peter Overzet, Davis Maddock, and Dan Gasper, Mr. Tuttle 05. And Dan, let's just start with you as the big Packers fan, boots on the ground take. For those that have just switched over to the Swolecast from the Pat McAfee show, what are you hearing?
Man, mega ivermectin. I want to appeal to that audience as much as possible. Back the blue. That's what we're all about here on this podcast.
I mean, Dan, to be honest, serious question. Because I've been thinking this recently. Because so much of my fandom for the Chiefs is really just related to Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, it's very hard for me to imagine the sport without him. What are you feeling right now knowing Jordan Love is the quarterback?
It's gonna be terrible. And
like 30 years of all pro level quarterback play. Like, why does it feel...
People thought the same thing though after Favre.
I mean
Love's not it.
Yeah, I don't think that's
pretty
true.
Clear Love's not it. So I've got a few different thoughts about this. First of all, DFS has jaded me to not be individual team sports fan like at all. So I don't want to pretend like I'm some hardcore Packers fan. Like if I root for one team, it would be the Packers, but I'm not like some crazy hardcore fan. And then the second thought about it is we were kind of in the limbo. So it's kind of in that weird stage where your team's good enough to make the playoffs, but they're really not good enough to do anything in the playoffs.
Same. So you're kind of, if you're not first, you're last.
Do you want to keep that going or do you want to rebuild? And I'm not sure on that. Honestly, I'd probably just want to keep it going.
Who are their good players? on like team friendly contract? Because isn't the issue that all their really good players are being paid like a shit ton of money?
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's some of it. I don't know all the contracts, etc. Obviously, we're not spending anything on the skilled position players on offense outside of Rodgers.
Davis, this isn't really a contract show either. I mean, since when have we discussed player friendly or team friendly contracts?
What is this show, Dave? Maybe it would be good to kind of set the table.
Maybe if like someone from corporate or from Better Collective sort of laid a vision for what
I can. Do you want corporate to get involved with the direction of this show, Davis? You would have no future at all. So let's just keep this hidden.
Overview, by the way.
I know you do. That's why I didn't want my intro to be too hilarious. But anyways, I was expecting Tuttle to give us the TLDR from the Pat McAfee show. For what I'm hearing from buddies that are watching.
Am I the only one that tuned in?
The Pat McAfee show is that basically Rodgers to the Jets if the Packers cooperate. And right now, I guess they want two first. And
Jets which patently are saying, feels insane no because way. Two firsts could get you Lamar Jackson right now. And I mean, no disrespect to the seventh greatest quarterback in the NFL, but I would much rather have 26-year-old Lamar Jackson, even though Lamar clearly at this point, someone in his life's got to get him off Twitter because he's just making Lamar is very similar to Rodgers tanking himself publicly right now.
I think it depends if you want a running back or a quarterback, right?
Base Tuttle. I mean, Peter, the leverage is that the Jets have already paid their third tight end, Alan Lazard. and that if the Packers take their ball and go home and just say, we don't care, we will tank our organization for 2 years, the Jets have to go to their quarterback room, look Zach Wilson in the eye, and be like, actually, it was our plan to go with you all along, buddy.
You call up Miami and you're like, about that Mike White thing, can we do a little take back on that?
Can you?
I did. There was a tweet out there that said they weren't looking for two firsts earlier. So I don't know where Dave got his info and if it is actually two firsts.
No, that's what Schefter's been saying. But Rodgers did just say on the McAfee show that when Schefter texted him, he told him to, quote, lose his number. Which is that's good. That's good from Rodgers, right? I can be fair and balanced enough to say that is legitimately funny from Aaron Rodgers.
So can you imagine? I was thinking today, like what we did before, like free agency and the tampering period before Twitter. Like it's fun right now, and there might not be a lot out there as far as like talent and fantasy stuff, but the stuff that is out there. We are like just constantly refreshing Twitter to see kind of what's been happening, what the rumors are. People with like less than 100 followers getting, you know, hundreds of retweets on random rumors just because people want them to be true. Peter, how are you doing in this free agency period?
Are you just asking me conversationally? Or are you teaming up the overview? I'm just still trying to kind of get.
No, I'm conversationally asking you how you're doing right now.
I'm doing good, Dave. I think it's fun. I think it's really fun for all of us. And I mean, to be serious about it, the NBA for a long time was considered like the premier drama level league where people could follow it like a soap opera. And even as like a non-NBA fan, I still will concede the NBA has way more interesting drama. But the NFL is getting closer every day. And you get Lamar sounding off on Twitter. You get Aaron Rodgers being a total freak show. And it is now something where there is just drama basically nonstop.
The NBA started. Like you've got even like the Titan, like Jeff Simmons, the big defensive tackle who's going to get paid handsomely, removed all the Titans references like on his social media.
No one cares. But I will say the NFL, the gap is not closed between the NFL and the NBA in terms of keeping people locked in for 12 months. But the big difference is people actually watch the NFL. The number of people who I like the NBA. Do I watch the NBA every single night? Absolutely not. Of course not. But I would bet more people have Woj notifications on their phone than subscribe to League Pass. Right. Mm-hmm. Whereas the NFL, obviously there's such a demand for viewership of the product. So the That's NBA.
It's interesting that you think that NBA went woke and now broke, Davis.
It's... Did Ethan Sherwood Strauss come on the program? No, the issue, the NBA, I mean, the NBA.
We don't have to get into the NFL NBA. It was a joke. Let's not get into NFL versus NBA.
Can we talk That's about John Morant instead? I mean.
No, let's not talk about John Morant.
I have some spicy John Morant takes that I can't have permanently recorded on the internet.
I've seen him.
I thought he was a fool, and then I saw the pictures leaked, and oh, I don't know. I might be changing my mind.
All right. With that being said, it feels like a perfect segue.
I had one more. Yes. I had one more take, David.
Okay.
Because this involves your friend. You were talking about NBA, and your close friend is a terrible referee and causing Fred VanVleet to get fined. And
okay. I didn't know if anyone, you know, usually I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm a, you know, one of my close college buddies is now an NBA ref. And now it's just like, backing up into, you know, siegebushes.gif. But as a referee, like, you don't want your name to be like a household name, like, because generally that's a bad thing. And so I saw an ESPN alert and I just thought it was anybody else. And someone messaged me like, hey, did you see your buddy is getting like publicly blasted out there? And so, yeah, tough scene for official Ben Taylor. And with that being said, let's get to Overzet's overview.
Steven, roll the theme music. Steven, you've had almost a month to get this ready. It's a quintessential signature segment on the show. Roll the... Steven, will you come on real quick? I'm not letting you get away with just a bed of music. Come on the stream, Steven. Steven, where's the intro? Where's the intro music for the segment? It's kind of like what gets me in the frame of mind to really deliver it.
I'll get that to you next week. Yeah.
Hang on, Steven. While we're here, can we talk about the tweet you did where you used the embed link to share the show?
Did you see my tweet, Peter?
I did, because I have notifications turned on for you.
Okay. So nice.
Bless your heart.
All right, Steven. I'm letting you off the hook, but if we're gonna get to 10K, we all have to step it up around here.
I got it. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
All right, guys. As you all know, the Swolecast is back after a multi-week hiatus, and the people have been beating down our door, thirsty for our NFL free agency takes, and most importantly, David Kitchen's review of the new churro-dipped cones at Dairy Queen. Spoiler alert, David's actually not a big fan of churros. During our break, we all got invited to compliance training for Better Collective, and I just want to let all of our viewers know that if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling and needs support, and you live in Mass, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit helplinemass.org to speak with a trained specialist free and confidentially 24/7. Moving on. Mr. Tuttle 05 went on an absolute DFS heater during our break, winning 75K across a couple of nights playing NBA, though you'd never know about it because he refused to take a victory lap on Twitter. Tuttle, thank you, though, for preserving our strong personal brand of being DFS donkeys and not letting anyone know about a win. Davis got ratioed by Packers Twitter the other day for making fun of their receivers. But I will say Davis is showing restraint, because I would have thought the old Davis would have been like minus 800 to thread tweet a link to Jeff Janis on the TakeCast, and Davis restrained from doing that. So very well done, Davis. Although... then Davis went to a St. Louis Battlehawks game and said he was there to reunite with friend of the pod, Brian Hill. So Davis is back. David Kitchen reposted his Dairy Queen fleet the other day and got some nice engagement. But now he's tweeting mundane sports thoughts nonstop while chasing the dopamine dragon.
So bad. So bad, David.
I would know. Because I still have notifications turned on for him. And I'm in absolute hell right now. Let's all have a good show today. Back to you, Kitchen.
Thank you. Thank you. as far as the... I don't think you guys understand when Pat Corain, friend of the show, on this show quite a bit, recent multimillionaire winner, when he tweets out sometimes I find myself really missing the Dairy Queen fleet from Soccer Dave. The amount of joy that gave me, but I had to play it cool in that moment, right? Like I couldn't immediately be like, oh, here it is. I've been waiting for it. I had to act like he was forcing me to do it, give it a little bit of time between he said it and, you know, because I had it right there available to post on there. So that's,
I assume you had created a shortcut for the file on your home screen on your phone, just waiting for anyone to ask you to repost it.
Oh, but it was so good and it got over 100 likes. So things are looking up in the Soccer Day social media sphere. Yeah, but we've got some football to talk. Also, congrats Tuttle on the big wins. Tuttle is like, I don't know, like if I won 75K, I'd be all over the place. I'd be so happy. And Tuttle is like, he feels bad because
are the higher ups a better collective not telling Dan that he needs to be.
Oh yeah. Like we took, he like mentioned it like very briefly in Discord chat. Like didn't even say like I won. He's just like, oh, cool. And then someone had to pull that up and then use it in our own testimonials. And he's like, he feels bad because it happened. he feels bad because it happened. Like because of a player injury, because of LaMelo's injury.
Void LaMelo. You can't parade, victory lap LaMelo ball injury, man.
Tuttle, have you seen parade victory laps these days?
Clone DeMar Hamlin. Like Karain played into like a vast multinational conspiracy, and he didn't.
Okay, he was radio silent though, right? Karain, what really?
Only PR move in that spot was total radio silence.
Yeah,
but one of the whole thesis of play whoever you want or live a little or you know don't play the high owned players is something like this happening, right? So I feel like you are well within your means of saying yeah, there's a reason why you X'd out LaMelo in 150 of your lineups and just one of those hit, but that's kind of the whole thesis of the play and why so many people tune into the show for football takes is that we give a lot of takes. All it takes though is just one little nugget for you to win your league or win your
spoken GPPs. Like a real gambling addict,
speaking like a Millie winner right there.
Yeah, well,
I will say, right. Tuttle, you're never going to get a job at Run Pure if you're not willing to post your screenshots like that. I hope you're willing and committed with Better Collective.
All right. Let's move on to some.
This was good. This is good. This is bringing me back into, like, I get why people like Aaron Rodgers. This is funny.
Yeah.
Karain's trying to compete with us too. He sent out some personal news tweet.
What's going on?
He's leaving Roto World. He's going to make his announcement tonight on Ship Chasing what he's up to next. So there you go.
He's too rich for Roto World.
And now and Harditz left PFF. And I don't know if that timing is coincidence, but let's check their social medias and see what's going on. If they've removed.
The Swolecast reads David Kitchen's Twitter feed. What a show.
No, good luck to Pat. I guess after winning $2 million, you can do really whatever you want with that brand that he's got now. Although I wonder, like him coming on the Swolecast, if that's going to even happen.
You're not going to have any problem booking Pat to do shows. This guy would show up to the opening of an envelope at this point.
He does. He does. He's very good that
we
way.
We do have to have him on our annual draft analysis show. Coming up on this podcast where he grades out offensive linemen and defensive tackles.
I don't know how to add comments anymore with this new version of whatever software we're on. But we're going Cloud9 over FlyQuest, Standish.
Always.
What?
Is
you got to be grinding league, otherwise you don't know what
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Is FPX still the GOATs?
Oh no, they kind of suck now for LPL.
Cannot have this talk on our free agent show.
I actually like play League of Legends now. I've gone like full nerd, and
you have time to do that in between raising your 97 children.
Tuttle won 75K, and he's like, "What am I going to get myself?" Did you get yourself a gaming computer with your money?
My oldest wants one though for Minecraft. Dude, I loved video games and stuff growing up. I have never understood Minecraft, and I don't think I ever will.
So how are you playing League of Legends?
You guys Minecraft?
No.
No.
My college girlfriend played Minecraft.
If you guys are talking League of Legends, then David Kitch and I get to talk about our Bitcoin Angel NFT and if you were considering heading to the castle party with Trevor Jones or not, David.
Who's Trevor Jones?
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god, David.
Jeez. How quickly we forget.
Two editions of the Bitcoin Angel I've been sitting on.
Man, do you guys remember NFT Summer? What a crazy moment of collective psychosis.
We're on the 2-year anniversary of the Mooncat rediscovery. Seriously, this week.
And the Mooncat rediscovery was like deep into the NFT boom, too.
All right. But seriously, let's get some.
What is the Mooncat floor right now?
Just let's not.
I have no clue. I'd say probably like 0.25 or something. So, all right. I do want to get into some football takes. People said, are we here for football takes? Some people are. Some people, they do tune in for that. I don't want to go over like the boring stuff. Like what team is impacted the most by the free agent signings? I want us to like get
talk about
into
the sexy
it,
like, stuff like Jacoby Myers on the Raiders.
like what we want. Like what else is left out there?
That's actually kind of interesting. There's like a meta analysis of Jacoby Myers signing for 3 years, $32 million, I think, because that number it's like I think every free agent list out there had him as the number one wide receiver available, but clearly not, right? So then it's like, okay, how much is Hardman going to get paid? But then it becomes more interesting of like, okay, what teams are comfortable being bad this year and have any wide receiver who is interesting at all? Like, is someone going to trade a first-round pick for Chris Godwin? Could McLaurin maybe get traded after signing his extension? What about just some team trade a third-round pick for Romeo Doubs to the Packers if the Packers just go to the full tank? Like, the wide receiver market – because teams need wide receivers so bad, this wide receiver class incoming is pretty poor. And I think Hardman, rightfully so, is like, you want me, bro? 4 years, $100 million.
The wide receiver class is poor, and because of all the re-signings, like, you know, this is partly why the Bears traded for DJ Moore, is because nothing was on the table as far as, like, wide receivers. When Jacoby Myers is the guy.
Well, they wanted DJ Moore because according to reports, Poles just wanted to add veteran talent with that pick, basically. Yeah. And it sounded like the Texans don't have any good players. The Texans signed the 40th best player from every other team in unrestricted free agency, so they don't have any good players to trade.
I want your guys' take on this because it's been a hot topic of debate. This move for DJ Moore's 2023 fantasy value, downgrade, neutral, or upgrade?
Down.
70% of the outcomes are down.
So me and Kitchen are on the upgrade. You two are on the downgrade.
What side do you want to be on there, Pete?
So the Bears last year, if you include Fields plays where he turned passing plays into scrambles, were like the run heaviest team.
They threw the least amount of pass yards of any team in the league.
Is this kind of like Jalen Hurts 2.0? Like,
that's my take.
That's the thesis. My take would be, all due respect to Mr. Fields, Jalen Hurts is much better than he is, like much better.
But I would say more, less about like Fields' progression, which obviously has to happen, but more about the team changing their philosophy. Like them running the shit ton out of the ball with Darnell Mooney as their wide receiver one makes sense. But now you get DJ Moore, a full season with Claypool, people playing in their natural roles. Like you got to think they scheme up more pass plays next year.
I think it widened the band of his range of outcomes, right? Where I think like 80 catches, 1,200 yards, 9 touchdowns or whatever is within the range, and that never would have been within the range in Carolina. But there are going to be a lot of games where Fields throws the ball 17 times and DJ Moore is 2 for 20, you know, which I guess is really not that different than his time in Carolina. Fields is a very impressive player. He's been very impressive running the ball. The passing stuff is still an issue, and maybe even more so, he has taken a sack on 0.4% of his dropbacks as a professional. That is like that. Like Joe Burrow looks at that and is like, my God, dude, just get rid of the ball. It's a real problem.
I don't get why people are like giving Chase Claypool credit too. Yeah, they are. Like people will always use it. Peach just used him. It's like, okay, like they got Chase Claypool. But like he was with the Bears long enough last season to have any sort of impact at all, and he just didn't.
I don't think like I haven't heard too many people because did they trade him for a first or a second?
Everybody always look at this receiving room now. DJ Moore, Chase Claypool, blah blah blah. But it's like
but if Chase Claypool is your third option, you're doing fine.
I think Claypool is pretty good.
He thrived in that role in Pittsburgh. He was never there.
I think he's athletically talented. I think he's good. It's just like he had time to do stuff with the Bears last season, and he struggled to even get on the
field. And was playing behind Dante Pettis.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So that like it was something there mentally that he couldn't get on the same page, and maybe the offseason, you know, helps him. I'll give you that, but it wasn't promising at the end of last season.
But don't you have to think, at the very least, we know Justin Fields can throw the deep ball. We know DJ Moore can get loose deep. Like, there's going to be more explosive plays. He has to have touchdown regression. Never had more than 7 TDs in a year, only 21 in his entire career. Like, there has to be more big plays here. I'll grant you that maybe he'll be a frustrating season-long start.
I mean, he had 160.
But on your best ball, teams.
Pete, he had 163 targets in 2021.
We got too much to talk about to spend too much time on DJ Moore, right?
What are the sexy things you want to talk about if we don't have time for DJ Moore?
we just talked about it. We got to move on. I want to move on to his teammate, Khalil Herbert. New RB1, but really just the running back position.
They're signing Ezekiel Elliott, bud. So just if you're drafting Khalil I mean, I'll just tell you, like, I don't have any reporting, but I'm just telling you it's happening.
Davis has the connection with the linebackers coach in Dallas.
I think he got
you have
fired.
A connection with the linebackers coach in Tennessee. But as far as the running back position, right? Like we're all dynasty players in here. Tuttle probably the biggest one.
I love Dynasty. Let me tell you,
I love Dynasty. So we're all looking at some of our picks
after this.
Like I've got, you know, Khalil Herbert, Tony Pollard, Rashad Penny.
Well, Pollard is probably the most interesting one to talk about right now.
Hold on. Let me finish. Rashad White.
Let the chefs at the table.
Yeah. Thank you. And so people are getting really, you know, RB1 season. But the reality is, like, you still have a bunch of running backs who have not landed. And then you've got Bijan, who's going to come in and, like, just wreck somebody, like, really bad. You also have people like Austin Eckler seeking a trade. So the running back position is just all up in the air. Davis, go ahead with your Pollard take.
I mean, it's just like a matter of how much do they give him the ball, right? He was the running back 8. Last year with 235 touches. How much more do we think he will get? Do we think he can scale up to 300 touches? Or do we think that this is a team that brings in, you know, Jamal Williams, drafts Zach Charbonnet in the third round or whatever?
Malik Davis got that juice.
Yeah.
Davis, what happened to your juice. Cord?
Yeah, I know. I just saw that too.
I have to tape that up on the wall when I do TV, but
it's our 10th year, Davis.
Dude, another Tyler Hero moment and get that fixed.
I have these stucco walls so it doesn't stick all day.
For Pollard, like, I honestly think you were rooting for Zeke to stay there. Because like Davis said, if they draft like a guy like Zach Charbonnet who might actually have some juice, that's a far bigger problem for him than Zeke who can't manage more than 2 yards per carry right now. Like, I actually think Zeke leaving is bad news for Pollard.
I don't agree because there is that take, like, at least they have the option now, like the probability of Pollard being the guy, including like goal line carries.
They're never going to do that though. They're always going to bring in another body. That, they're not Peter. Giving him 25 carry or touches a game. It's just not how they're going to use him.
They'll bring in somebody. Somebody will probably be more talented than Zeke, which I agree with, which is Pete's take, but they don't have that stubborn commitment
Right. I think that's probably, I think that's probably the biggest difference is that there's not, Jerry Jones is not going to be in the ear of shit. I guess Brian Schottenheimer now basically being like, if you don't give Zeke the ball on the 2 yard line, your whole family is going to be gone.
Remember when Davis was used to be a Cowboys fan?
Just like trying to salvage and not looking so bad with the Zeke signing. And he was like,
he just loved, I think he just actually loved him. I think he just, you know, because like, think of all the great Cowboys running backs that there've been and bad ones too. But even the bad ones, like Jerry was obsessed with Felix Jones, who was never good, but he would just always demand. And any running back who went to Arkansas, they signed Darren McFadden about 2 years after his expiration date because he went to Arkansas, which is where Jerry went. It's just,
Davis knowing all the history of the Cowboys is because Davis was a huge Cowboys fan until Kansas City drafted Mahomes, which is what he was talking about. So my question is Tuttle, who, once the Packers start to lose, who is going to be your number two team now? Like, who's going to be your alternate?
I won't have a number two team. I barely have a number one team.
You got to choose.
I just don't have. What I was going to say is I actually have very fond memories for some reason of those Arkansas running backs for Dallas.
Well, they were amazing. The two guys in college were amazing.
Yeah, they were great. But yeah, Dave, I'm not going to have a number two team that I.
Who is Theo Vaughn?
He's a.
Oh my gosh! You just add this to a list of. Davis will, like, a year from now will know who Theo Vaughn is, but he is such a boomer where he doesn't know who was it, like Tim Ferriss. He didn't know who Tim Ferriss was, and then after that, it was I forget
who it was. He's a very funny comedian who's blown up on TikTok.
I've seen this guy.
He's on your boy's favorite podcast, Joe Rogan's podcast.
Fine, I can kind of see the resemblance.
Yeah, I can kind of see it. I've seen this guy. I didn't know that was his name.
He was actually on, the first time I saw him was on MTV's like Road Rules or Real World, right? Tuttle?
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious? I don't know that his. Are you serious?
I didn't know who he was. Go ahead.
I was going to say is the entire first half of his career was trying to like shed the reality star moniker. And then he went like full stand-up podcast.
TikTok no way. Star. I did not know this about him at all.
That's how I knew him.
I still watch all the really shit like. They got so many spinoffs now, and I still watch it all on Paramount.
Secret Plus chat is only Tuttle asking people if they've watched the challenge right now.
And then Wiggins asking me why I hate conservative media personalities, being like, why do you hate this person?
I can't believe Theo Vaughn was on the challenge. I mean, this might have been like before my.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks like 1997.
Yeah, it probably was because that's when I was paying attention. Okay, so let's move on to Lamar Jackson, shall we?
No, I wanted to really have Tuttle nail down the team he was going to root for now.
Who are you going to root for now?
Entertaining Swolecast viewership.
The Jets? You get to choose, Tuttle.
I actually, like, so I was excited about the Jets destination until he started to bring all his wide receivers with him. Because you got to admit, like Aaron Rodgers with Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, like that's fun.
Giants adding Darren Waller,
Alan Lazard, and Randall Cobb. We've seen that, and it's not all that fun.
Giants adding Darren Waller to their squad. Like I drafted so many Giants stacks last year, and I thought I was done with them.
Seven of them, like seven out of your 15 teams.
No, like out of the 50. Davis, I am not going to bring up my finalist standing on right now. I don't have to present my
sounds
ROI.
Like you just did, Dave.
Oh, whoops.
Dave, how many Rodgers Jet stacks did you have before this news broke?
I haven't drafted any best ball.
Oh, I want to ask Peter this question since this is not on his stream or Underdog State sponsored program.
Uh-oh.
Do you think it's a little insane that there are people are grinding their dicks off on March 15th for best ball? Or are we just so far past that it's not even worth remarking on anymore?
It's funny you're saying that because I'm literally for my newsletter post on Friday, I'm writing about this exact thing of people calling
like people
us
having mentally, a problem
with drafting. So yeah, I have lots of thoughts. I do think it's crazy, but you can't deny that there is a demand And
I'm not denying the demand. I guess my take would be is I'm going to be so sick of drafting by August 15th, you know, like I just am going to be like,
I call bullshit on that, Davis. You drafted 109 teams on a random Saturday in December. Like,
well, do you remember the mitigating circumstance there? I don't know if the Chasing Corain fire is going to be burning as brightly. Maybe it will be. I don't know.
So I guess, is your question related to best ball content being this early or just people drafting?
No, I'm good. I'm good with the content. I don't even mind people drafting. I guess what seems crazy to me is the idea that you would max the big board, max best ball mania. You know, it's like you're just in a, and which I guess, I don't know, maybe it helps just to be in a permanent state of drafting.
I will say, like, as an added benefit, it is like when you go on a bunch of shows and I'm writing the newsletter and you're doing, like, to have your finger on the market and know like what's happening is like very, like, every talking point I have, like, we did a whole segment on Club Top Shot yesterday about the NBA playoff best ball stuff. And I could talk for 30 minutes about NBA because I've done 20 of those drafts. I know nothing about the NBA, but I can at least tell you about the ADPs and how the draft goes and stuff. I don't know. It just provides good talking point fodder, because what the hell else are we going to talk about all offseason?
Well, this
our
is $50 why also,
dynasty teams.
This is also why the dynasty best ball super flex format is the ultimate format, because this is the only time where you have to really pay attention to it. And then that's it.
Here's, you know, the by thing, the time. Though. Yeah. I don't log in. I do the startup drafts for the Dynasty Superflex David Kitchen sponsored format. I enjoy doing the startup, and then I never check in on it other than the rookie draft. I don't care about making trades. I don't sweat the standings. I don't sweat anything.
Well, then you are not the target audience. Like, I feel like I am like you've got like a month window and that's it. After that, everyone, you know, once the draft happens, you do your draft, and then all the trades have already happened, and then you move on to redraft leagues. And so this is like the perfect time to, you know, decide, am I going to tank? Am I going to not tank it? And that's it, you know, and you still get to keep up with what's happening and beat your chest if, you know, one of your 30 players is now in a better standing than what it was. I'm about to do another startup. I'm going to do it because I like to do one every 2 years. I can't do, like, people that have 20 dynasty leagues, they have more of a problem than the best ball drafters. Because the amount of time that it takes for one dynasty league in order to be competitive.
I mean,
Davis,
like,
I know you feel me.
13.
Oh my gosh. Like, how can you effectively manage 13? Or is it just like you're just,
I
like
don't.
Punting it?
Yeah. it's like
dynasty league.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tuttle is in one. He asks me questions when he does his rookie draft. I mean, you know, it's like the Incredible Hulk meme, like, what's your secret? I'm always angry. Like, you just asked me, like, what's your secret? The secret is, like, six of them I just don't do shit with, and they just wither on the vine.
Well, here's a question for you, Davis, because I will say, before we were drafting best ball teams around this time, and when I did start playing Dynasty and I was in a bunch of leagues and I was super engaged, I would spend
this comedy time, hour Pete, right?
Exactly. But I would spend this time, you know, sending out trade offers. You're going back and forth with people over email, like, hours of your day gone negotiating trades. Like, is drafting a best ball team any different than spending your time doing that for a dynasty league right now?
This is why I'm saying people that have multiple dynasty leagues have more of a problem than the people that are just just drafting multiple best ball teams before we know anything. Like, Reeb sent me a trade offer and I'm like, sure. It sounds good. Like, I'm not like haggle with Reeves on this. It's like, yeah, this sounds fun. Like, let's do it. You know,
I've done two trades today, but one of them took me going back and forth with Leone for like,
we've been going
back and forth for like 48 hours.
Yeah. I don't know if I could do another league with Leone or Britt Devine. Like, I just don't know if I have it.
Too much action.
No, Britt is Devine way. Here? Yeah. Britt's way worse than Michael.
Here's the thing, though. We're like, we're not normal people either. Like, we're in our little old fantasy world. Like, normal people with real life jobs eat this shit up. Like, they eat trying to do trades. Like, it gives them something to distract their brain from their normal.
It's like watching the Real Housewives.
I thought you were very close to saying their hellish existence, and I was like, relax.
No.
I mean, remember that one time Davis pissed off blue collar workers on this show? Yeah. That was great.
Well, it's because I've lived the reality many times, like a lot of times. Like, when you go, I used to love MLB DFS during the day, because it, like, when you worked a 9-to-5, you got to draft a team, you got to follow it throughout the day while you're working your job, and like it was awesome. And now, I mean, I hate it now because you actually have to like bang out content for it and stuff.
Tuttle, you say you hate it. You say, you know, all the stuff you hate about DFS NBA, and then you're in there putting 150 lineups in, shipping 75.
Yeah, I do hate NBA DFS. It takes
so much like time. I don't know.
Though. We're not.
It feels a little bit disingenuous. Yeah.
No, what I'm saying is we're not normal people. We have a very diluted reality of existence with gambling, coexistence with gambling, whereas like most people do not have that delusion.
Yes. Tuttle is right. We definitely have an unhealthy relationship with speculating on stuff.
I think it's really about like finding your satiation point. I don't even know like that's how you say it, but basically yeah, maybe, but basically to your like filled up. Like I don't feel like I have to play DFS NBA now.
Like on the you did at one point though. You definitely right. And that's the thing. Yeah. You do to, like you almost feel like I feel
you
I
go in seasons play, now.
Right? And it's yeah. not fun.
Pete.
Oh no, I was just gonna say, like in doing like streams and stuff too, I'm like, I think it's absurd that people watch people play video games all day. Mm-hmm. But then it's like I do think like best ball streaming right now is basically just video games for people who like fantasy.
Mindless takes, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Background music with the
I mean like that's being a little reductive to I think the show I put on, Dave, but you know, I don't know
I always usually have
it. You're at Home Depot and you throw the AirPods in with your YouTube Premium in the background, it's fine.
All right, let's talk about, please, we got 10 minutes left. Let's talk about Lamar Jackson. Let's talk about Lamar Jackson and where he's going and what that's gonna do. Let's just assume that he does not land in Baltimore.
Wow, Hoffman earning his salary with this one. He had that one ready to go, too.
Let's assume that he does not go to Baltimore.
I don't think it was the best idea ever for him to tweet 3 years, $133 million fully guaranteed. I don't know if that was like the best thing he could have done personally.
Yeah, like do you Davis, you're big in conspiracy theories. Do you think that the league is blackballing
him? It's not true.
The fact that you get so defensive about it means there's a kernel of
truth. No, the thing is, and I've said this before
here's the thing.
Conspiracy theories, when I was growing up, used to be amazing because it meant that you didn't trust the government, but you also didn't trust big businesses, right?
Yeah.
Now every conspiracy theory is about how every person who's ever voted Democrat in their life, like, eats children. Like, conspiracy theories have been ruined by the right wing of America. It used to be cool. Wait, they're not cool anymore, so you can't be called a conspiracy theorist.
Remember when you supposedly could go on Wayfair and order a child?
Yeah. It's
how do you think I have so many?
It's like Tuttle makes the point perfectly. It's like the conspiracy theory used to be, did you know the U.S. federal government knows about aliens and keeps it from you? And now it's...
Well, now it's just like a given. Like, yes, there is aliens.
Well, yeah.
I think what Davis is saying is he misses the days where he could get all of his conspiracy news from the No Mercy pod. And now it's just, it's everywhere. There's not one dedicated source for it.
Davis thinking that conspiracy theories are just limited to one side of the aisle is why.
No, it's Davis not about either side of the aisle. It's about distrusting. No, theory. It's about distrusting the people in power in general. But the issue is now is that the conspiracy theories have been bifurcated, that there is one group of people who are the gatekeepers for truth and one group of people who are the constructors of the fake
Davis
reality.
Is pointing to like different things on
bifurcated is going like this.
It's one of my biggest pet peeves in life that you can't, like, if I was going to be chatting, you know, talk to someone at the golf course, bar, whatever, and I was like, oh, conspiracy theory X, Y, or Z, they'd be like, well, that guy's a fucking lunatic. Like,
well, it's just, it's just real, you know, now it's just the truth. All right, enough with the
game. This all started, by the way, this all started with Lamar Jackson, and there's 100% owner collusion going on. Whether it's blatantly out there is one thing.
Yeah, if you don't believe that, I have a bridge in Idaho to sell you for sure. Like, you got to be a stone moron to not think that. Yeah. And I don't even think it was communicated. I don't think that if there was, like, a lawsuit, I don't think you could go in and find emails of Steve Biscotti, the Ravens.
Well, it's like the Kaepernick stuff, right? It's like an understanding, right? It's
I think the Kaepernick stuff might have been verbal. Yeah, I think they didn't let that get to court for a reason. But I think it was basically just fuck Deshaun Watson. We are not giving these contracts out. Hold the line. We are not giving, like, what Kyler get $156 million guaranteed to his deal. I bet that's the most we see for
so
5 years.
So just to play slight devil's advocate, who, if there wasn't, say, mass collusion or everyone holding the line together, who would be the teams that you think would be running to give Lamar what he wants right now?
Falcons. Panthers, Dolphins, Falcons,
not the Panthers. They've already made
Yeah,
their
Panthers
move.
Are not.
But the Panthers could have, instead of trading their whole team to take Anthony Richardson, they could have just got good Anthony Richardson, Lamar Jackson.
I'm going to say Falcons, and then I'm going to say another team is going to surprise you.
Falcons is the one that most makes me believe it's a conspiracy, because there's the Falcons actually spent money on their team, but they don't have a quarterback.
Titans with Lamar honestly makes so much sense.
There was an article in Sports Illustrated today about, like, just the offense of Lamar and Derrick Henry and, like, just how unique it would be. And it's not like having – the Titans don't have any receivers besides my buddy Treylon Burks. But as far as the, you know, what the Titans are doing, they haven't made any moves really on the offensive side of the ball except for a few offensive linemen. So,
I mean, what are you, what are, as a Titans fan, what are you wanting them to do, David?
Okay. So this comes back to your tweet yesterday or your response to my tweet, as far as the Jets looking for Aaron Rodgers when they can have Tannehill for much cheaper. Right. I don't want Tannehill on the team. I'm at that point in my fandom. Like Tuttle said,
wow.
If you're not
giving
first,
giving up on Ryan Tannehill.
And this might even be
they were the one seed in the AFC 18 months ago, David, and you're ready to wave
the
white flag.
Since then, we have seen, like, that was when they had AJ Brown, right? Like, I think letting him go, huge mistake. And we've also seen some other big misses as far as, like, the offensive lines and shambles. And so I'm on this thing where if you're not first, you're last. But here's the thing. There's only one team that's going to be able to get Caleb Williams next year, right? And so Tuttle kind of mentioned this, like, you want them to be bad, but can the Titans be worse than everybody else? I don't think so, because their defense is, like, decent. If you have a decent defense and you almost beat the Chiefs with Malik Willis, can you really be the worst team in the NFL? I don't know. Like, you have to really try to tank. And so my theory is, like, I don't want Tannehill on the team, because I think Tannehill on the team means, like,
so do you want it to
you're
be
6-10
do you want a year of Malik just figuring out what he's got in the chamber?
Malik and Josh Dobbs. I don't think Malik has anything in that chamber, but I think it's at least tank or go the opposite side and trade for Lamar or sign Lamar and or, like, Trey Lance, somebody.
Here's the thing. Giving up 2 first-round picks when you're really shitty like the Titans are, like, do Titans have any good players at all? I don't think so. The Falcons at least have, like, 2 good corners. They got Kyle Pitts. Like, they have more of a bones of a roster.
Yes.
And they play
the Titans do
division.
Have good players. They don't have, like, they've got a good defense. On offense,
weren't
they don't have any
weren't
receivers.
Weren't they literally the worst defense last year? Like, weren't they just
2 years
god-awful?
Ago. 2 years ago. And then last year, they were really good. And they get back Harold Landry as well this year. So as far as, like, offensive side of the ball, they've got Chig, who is a legit weapon.
He is.
Been beating the Chig drum for, you know, almost 12 months now. And then you've got Treylon and Derrick Henry, and that's it. It's tough to get. They're not tendering Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. And so it's like there's no one on the offensive side.
I heard Nick Westbrook-Ikhine might be a Chief, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I just want to say Kitchen started this show saying, let's get to the, you know, the sexy stuff, the big news. And now we've spent the past 10 minutes listening to him mumble about the Titans.
Davis wanted to know. And I think it's a real thing for people who don't have elite quarterbacks. Like, you, if you don't have an elite quarterback right now, what's the point? Siege, you know, the Siege voice. What's the point?
I mean, here's the thing. I'm so glad we're finally getting to do this show. But, like, these AFC teams are kind of drawing dead right now because they're all – well, they're all getting to the point where they have to pay. So I think the Bengals are kind of messing up this offseason. I said this earlier in the –
they haven't done anything.
I think the Bengals, this is the last year they're not having to pay mega contracts to Joe, T, and Chase. I think they should be a la the Rams, Saints, just mortgaging the future for 5 years on this year because – the Bills have to pay their mega deal to Josh Allen. It's starting this year. And Mahomes is already on his deal as well. This is like a really unique spot for the Bengals to be the best team in the AFC. And they're not really doing it, which seems confusing to me.
Yeah, they signed Travion Williams, I think.
Oh, yeah. Don't you think, though, the way with how much variance there is in the NFL playoffs, that like even the concept of shoving it all in for 1 year is just like foolhardy. Like, don't you want to be thinking in 2 to 3 year windows?
I don't know. The Rams,
the best team, and you could still get upset in the divisional round.
Oh yeah, sure. Yes, which is bad. Which actually is the converse of what I'm saying, which is catch Mahomes on a bad day in the office, like right. The Bengals did in 2021, and it all works out.
It's like dynasty. Either tank or go all for it. Like, what did the Rams do? They went for it, and they got it.
At in what cost, Dave? The organization is shambles.
Yeah, these are the worst takes on the internet. Are the how screwed are the Rams? Am I right? It's like they literally won a championship 12
which,
months
yeah,
ago.
You would trade a championship season for like 20 years of mediocrity.
And I think the conversion is 5 years personally.
After the whole bank collapse, Dave, the conversion rates have kept up.
Davis, left the Cowboys for the Chiefs because of your mediocrity.
Inaccurate. I left them because it was an abusive relationship and it wasn't good for either one of us. But I've done this with the Royals. The Royals won a championship. They made the World Series in 2014. They won in 2015. It's 2023. They are absolutely horrible. There's not a snowball's chance in hell probably of them winning a championship within the next 10 years. And it stinks. It really does stink. Like it hurts.
And it's relatively easy. Maybe it's because we're getting older, but think about the Bears and what we thought about their front office. Like what seems like a few years ago with the Mitch Trubisky stuff, like, oh, they're idiots. They're not going to do it. And now it's just like, ooh, the Bears have turned it around. You know,
I want to refute this as well. The Bears are not going to be as good as people think.
Well, it sounds like you're already hating on the Bears. Yeah.
Let's see. This is
they're still second to win that division behind the Lions.
That to me feels too rich.
You think the
who do you think is better than
the Packers? I think the Jordan Love Packers have a decent chance of being better than the Bears.
Tuttle, do you not side off on that take?
I don't sign off on that too.
This is because Davis, you're only interested in the fantasy stuff. Like they've actually made some other like good actual team.
Here, let me. I'm looking at the prices.
They've got Edmonds guy on the Bills. They got him. I read that.
Yeah. Got some linebackers or something. Some good linebackers.
So to win the division, the Bears. No, the Bears are third. This is right. Lions, Vikings, Bears, Packers. Yep. I think the gap between the Packers and the Bears is maybe 10 or 15 cents too long, but. Third to win the division to me.
But they've got three more years. Is like and they're set up.
Why would they have three more years?
Justin Fields contract.
Fields is going into year three now.
Yeah,
so they have 1 year.
This
dude is gonna be the same thing as Lamar. This dude does not want to play for what is his base, $14 million or whatever.
I think the thing we should be saying is that the Lions should be like minus 900 to win the division now that they got Dave.
Yeah. Fair.
Good luck with that backfield. And man, now you got the, you have other teams that are these sexy signings and people, these free agents like Leonard Fournette and Adam Thielen out there. Zeke, where are they going to go?
Dude, I don't know. Thielen's just dust.
I don't know.
He's
a locker room guy.
Oh,
no,
I want this
Titan to backfill the Robert Woods void.
By the way, the New England Patriots are the team that should do this non-exclusive tag on Lamar. They should give him the full guarantee, give him the bag. Robert Kraft has infinite money. And they suck at drafting anyways.
The Patriots on the flip side, like the Patriots used to be like the big brain team, right? And now they're not making any moves. Their team is
That's a little bit of a Windhorst meme. You know, it's like, were the Patriots always the big brain team, or did they just have the greatest guy to ever play? And that gave them a huge amount of win expectancy every year.
It's almost like quarterback's important. So, all right.
If Bill Belichick
Davis, I need to tell the story. It trumps your Bill Belichick stuff.
Okay.
I met Treylon Burks in real life. And that was an important moment for me.
Where? How?
Yeah.
Any more color to this story?
Planet Fitness?
Did he recognize you?
No, he did not recognize me. And usually the thing in Nashville is like you let celebrities go. I've seen other Titans players. I was actually a greeter, though, at my church. You know, you're supposed to say, hey, welcome. We're not that weird. You know, yada, yada, yada. And so he comes up to me and I'm like, this guy looks like Treylon Burks. And so I had to introduce myself to him, you know. Hey, welcome, I'm David. And he's like, hey, I'm Treylon. And like he did not say Treylon, which is one of my biggest pet peeves out there. And when he did, yes, he said his own name correctly. So I knew he wasn't, you know, catfishing me or whatever it was. But when he did, I turned into, this is going to surprise you guys, it turned into like just a blubbering idiot, where usually, you know, again, I've been around other famous people, celebrities, and I can keep my cool, but I was just like,
oh, hear your cold opens here. We know how eloquent of a speaker.
Yeah. Right. So I was like, oh, you play for the Titans. He's like, yeah. Or no, I said, you wouldn't be the Treylon Burks that plays for the Titans, would you? And he's like, yeah. And at that moment, I'm like telling myself, just like, shut up. You know, like, all right, that's enough. Let him go about his day. And then I just keep talking. And
it's like when David is the guy who like finally worked up the courage to talk to the hot girl at the gym. And he like the opening line went well, you know, but then he doesn't know when to shut up. So he keeps talking. And then
and like in my head, I'm like, just shut up, because like this guy is not that interested in you.
And that is how David Kitchen lost his job as a greeter at his church.
David, we can't have you stalking the members. You want to
change numbers?
You know what's funny is when I met Travis Kelce, he recognized me. I 100% he did. Ask him.
I'm not going to ask him, but he did not recognize you.
Yes, he did, because of a meme you did. Because of a meme you did where you photoshopped my face onto my then girlfriend of me kissing Travis Kelce.
So what did you say when you met him? I vaguely remember. This is a long time. We've done this show for 10 years. But you had like, didn't you have a big stain on your shirt?
I got not a big stain. I have a little spot of water. But yes, you are right. That is true. I was just out at dinner in Kansas City and met him. But he followed me on Twitter already. So he already knew who I was.
Does he still follow you on Twitter?
Let's check. That's actually a great question.
So what did you say? So you went up to him? Yeah,
he's still, of the 1,374 people that he follows on Twitter, I'm one of them.
Have you ever DM'd him?
Okay. In 2018, I asked him to come on the podcast. No response.
So what did you say to him, though, when you met him in real life?
I mean, you know, basically same deal. Like, hey, you know, nice to meet you. Huge fan. Love the Chiefs. Cool guy. You want to take a picture? And he was like, yeah.
Oh, you sure. Ask him for a picture? That is like, I wouldn't do that.
You do have to do it, though.
No, you're team picture, Pete?
In that
instance, I thought you'd be playing cool.
It depends on the level of the celebrity. Like Travis Kelce, probably one of my, I'll say 20 favorite athletes of all time. But if I used to see Royals players around, and I would be like, hey, Mike Moustakas, you take a picture with me? Like, it's not that serious.
Here's the thing, too. I will say, Tuttle, it definitely has to be, the situation has to be right. Like, you can't, like, chase down a guy in the airport, like, who's trying to catch his flight.
Peter gets it. There's a time and a place.
You have to, like,
Kitchen,
like, massage it with some.
Kitchen probably should have, like, Treylon Burks would rather have taken a quick selfie with you than get bogged down in a 5-minute conversation.
Yes. Great point, Peter. Great point.
See, my only like actual famous person interaction was Mark Wahlberg. Got into an elevator with him. Just
is he as big of a douche in real life as he is on social media?
Oh, he's a tiny dude. Just gave him the head nod. That's all we did. Acknowledged each other. You got to play it cool.
Yeah.
I used to hang out with this girl who knew Doriel Green Beckham when he was on the Eagles.
That's
he was
a
on
name
the
I've heard forever.
That's a
when
deep
he,
cut.
Well, it was when he was on the Eagles, remember?
Yeah.
And he was like the worst dude to be around. So I never like fanned out on him. It's like, oh, great.
Someone of that status wants you to recognize.
Well, definitely
wants
you
them to take pictures.
Yeah. Well, no, at that point, like he was the number one receiver out of high school. Before he went to Missouri,
he was also the number one receiver in college until he kept breaking the law.
Right. You don't remember the Titans traded for him, so I do remember DGB. So all right, we're spread out. Let us know in the comments what you would
We're
spread out.
That's the new slogan for the show, the Spoolcast. We're spread out.
It's not concentrated. You know, we're not. Not super concentrated. We're spread out all over the place. Hashtag live a little. So leave us a comment as far as what you would do. I think mine completely has to do with like being fantasy related. Like I think if it was another fantasy player that you recognize, then I would probably, you know, someone that like I had beat the drum for, I'd go up to him for sure.
Who's a person who's so famous you wouldn't go up to them? Like they're too famous and you wouldn't be able to do it.
I'd say if you're famous, like if you're like super famous at all, like I don't think Treylon Burks is that famous, right? But
well, football players is a weird thing too because people don't recognize them because they have their helmets on.
I recognize him because of his eyes and because like I draft him every week, so I knew. Right,
you're not really running. You're not really running with the theme of this question.
I'll go with this prop, Davis, and I know there's like security issues and stuff, but like I would have no interest in running up to the president and being like, "Nice to meet you, Mr. President." Like, it's just like it's the president. Like he just needs. To go
there's a category of people who are so famous they're in the cultural consciousness, but you yourself have no attachment for them. Like if I saw Justin Bieber or someone of like that mega pop, I'm it's like I literally don't care. I have no connection with you. I was more thinking like someone who's pretty famous but maybe more impactful to you. Like for me, I think it would be like if I saw Dave Grohl, I'd be like I actually am too nervous to communicate with you. Like I don't think I could do it. So I'm just
Steven,
will you
come on the show
your day.
Steven, come on the show real quick. I need to address this comment that you just put in the chat. Does the president count as a celebrity? Come on the show.
Hello.
Hey, did you make that comment?
President yes, a celebrity?
Of course the president is a celebrity. Donald Trump is the biggest celebrity in the world and we miss him every day, Stephen.
Yeah.
But he's a different situation. He was a celebrity before he was the president.
President Biden is a celebrity.
He was a celebrity.
You know what a celebrity is, Stephen.
It as someone as an athlete or an entertainer.
Oh, it's a famous person. That's literally
you guys are laughing. I get where Sosa's coming from here.
I get where he's coming from, but he's wrong.
See, Chip Skylar.
He might be wrong, but I don't think
Biden is not a celebrity. That's
not every politician is a celebrity, but the biggest ones, Marco Rubio is a celebrity.
If they're famous, recognize
Marco
them.
Marco Rubio's not a celebrity.
Yes, he is.
I don't know about Marco. I don't know about Rubio.
Where does it stop? What level of government does it stop?
Another great question.
They're gotta be like in the news, like famous. Like you gotta be famous. And that means like multiple hot like AOC celebrity. She's a celebrity because like she's all
like
fame is way bigger than her station in politics for right. sure. There are other people of her same station who have like 800 Twitter followers.
I can only imagine.
Tony Evers. How about Tony Evers, guys?
Yeah, put this on the official Swolecast account. Let's get the poll. Yeah. Let's get conversation. Let's embrace debate. Is Biden a celebrity? Get that poll going.
It's going to be like 80-20 yes. And then, well, then, no, we're going to open ourselves up. We're going to open ourselves up to the wrong part of Twitter. And they're going to be like, he eats children. He can't be a celebrity.
Engagement farming, baby. We need it.
Does Joe Biden know himself? So let's thank you,
you guys. I saw the head of my school board the other day. Holy shit. Let me tell you, I could not talk to them.
That's like a local
celebrity status.
That's what we call local celebrities. There's local celebrities, and then there's like bigger celebrities. I'm on Pete's side. Pete and I.
I'm terrified that we're in line with these takes.
It's been a vibe.
Lamar Jackson, DJ Moore, presidential celebrities. This is bad for me.
Yeah, it's good. Mine would be like Katy Perry. If I saw her, I'd be like, "Do you remember?" That'd be mine.
Dang it, David. Yeah. He can't resist.
Okay, so with that being said, let's wrap it up. Final thoughts, Davis. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. I really hope Chris Godwin gets traded to Kansas City and agrees to a contract restructure that makes his cap number go really low.
Okay. And Tuttle?
Final thoughts. Excellent low-key gambling day. We got UCL, we got EPL, we got League Fantastic. Of Legends. Just great. Very thankful.
Why don't you just take the day off in preparation for tomorrow?
No, the best day of them all. I'm grateful for daylight savings to have happened because I would have had to be working on lineups right now for EPL and UCL. But I can, you know, I was able to do the show and now I can go grind some lineups.
I'm just grateful in general. Tuttle, what's your pick for the NCAA tournament? Wisconsin's not in this year.
See, I don't know. I don't have a my surprise team is Creighton. Creighton's going to make it further than expected.
Blue Jays. Very nice.
Yep.
All right. Pete, final thoughts.
I just want to apologize to Steve. I was a little hard on him on the show today for a few things. I do need to give you your props for the Lamar Jackson gif. And if anything I said crossed the line, you can always call 1-800-327-5050 or visit helplinemass.org to speak with a trade specialist.
Yeah. Listen, first show of year 10, and if you haven't, go back and look at the year 9 highlights because producer Sosa did work a long time on those highlights. Now, some might say maybe it'd be a good thing to put those highlights in the intro for this year's show, which I'm sure he will get to once he's like able to.
More and more people are saying it's true.
Right, right. So, you know, that being said, shout out to everyone that's been with us this far, who stuck with us this far. The road to 10K this year is going to be really fun. And also, if you don't think like conspiracy theories are a thing, you're probably the conspiracy theorist itself. That's probably the biggest conspiracy theory. So
if you can't spot the conspiracy theorist at the table, you're the conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, that's it. So with that being said, like the show. Hit the thumbs up, and we'll see you next time here on the Swolecast on RotoGrinders.com. Peace.